Turns out Jesus is kind of a G, you know? It's
Yeah, totally, yes.
Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
Hi, I'm Dirk DeMonte. I'm one of the pastors at Los Altos United Methodist Church. My specific role is as minister of music and worship arts, and love working there alongside Rev Sam, and grateful to be asked to be part of this podcast.
Well, thanks for being here, Pastor Dirk. Today we're going to talk Matthew 28, 1 to 10.
After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. Look, there was a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go, tell his disciples. He's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you." With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I'm going into Galilee. They will see me there."
I love that this angel is rolling the stone away and then sitting on it. Just sitting on it.
Yeah.
Which is like almost how every children's Bible depicts it, I think. This angel just sitting on a tomb.
Yeah. But yeah, just one guy pushing it, rolling it, scrambling up the stone and then sitting up there. Hey,
yeah. Hey, what's up? What's up, guys?
You know what I love? I mean, one of the things I love is all four Gospels are so different in their recounting of the resurrection, and similar to the Christmas stories, but that's only in two of the Gospels. But, you know, I realize that I almost never use Matthew on Easter, and I was a little bit startled by the earthquake and the angel showing up right there and rolling the stone away, and Mary, the Marys being present for that. Because every other account is they showed up and the stone was rolled away and they didn't know what had happened. And this one, I really like it because they come to the tomb and then the earthquake and then the angel and then the stone rolled away and the guards turning into zombies or whatever. And then being instructed to go back and tell the other disciples and then encountering Jesus. It all happens somewhat differently than in the other Gospels. And there's an immediacy to it that I really like. And there's the witness to the actual moment of resurrection. And, you know, it doesn't matter as much to me about the literal accuracy of things because everything's being written down decades after it happened. But I do like to ask myself, so what is, what am I being nudged to take from this? And the first thing is that just that immediacy, like this at some point this happened in real life, you know, I mean, it wasn't just show up afterwards. So I really like that part.
Yeah. And the kind of, I think we often experience it not as immediacy, right? We often, our experience of it is often like, oh yeah, this thing that happened, it's pretty cool. Kind of basing my life off of it, you know?
Yeah. And we, you know, a lot of us kind of hedge our bets a little bit and say, oh, it doesn't matter if it was a bodily resurrection or a spiritual resurrection, something happened. And I've said that a number of times, but it does matter how it happened and how certainly his first followers experienced it. And so you just can't, you can't pretend you don't see all that, because it's right there. And in every account, it happened and changed these people, you know, completely.
Whole worlds, yeah.
The other thing I really like about this that is a bit different than the other accounts is literally, you know, calling the disciples to get up. And you know, we know they were hiding and terrified in the upper room, and this is saying, nope, time to get out and come on over to Galilee. And then the, you know, the rest of that chapter, which I don't, you know, we're not talking about that, but you can't fully ignore it. The rest of that chapter is they go to Galilee and Jesus says, go make disciples. You know, it's our kind of a version of our Methodist mission statement, make disciples for the transformation of the world. And so I like the action that the disciples are called to, and that Jesus says, come find me, you know, because that's the other, that's different than certainly in John, where Jesus keeps showing up and appearing and trying to get them to realize it's him. So
Yeah. It's also, you've got the Markan account that says, Jesus spoke to the women and they went away terrified. Doesn't they didn't tell anybody, they just went away and they were terrified. And one of the so Harrington's commentary basically says, yeah, Matthew probably had a hold of Mark's gospel and was like trying to clean it up. Like, well, this is what's actually, I don't know. They went and they worshiped him and then they went and told the disciples. It's all good.
Okay. And because Mark, they tell the way, or Jesus says, or was it the angel of Jesus says, go tell my brothers. And then it says they were terrified and they didn't tell anybody. So, and you're like, oh, okay. I like that, actually. I mean, I really like the ambiguity there. But yeah, there's no way Matthew's going to do that. What I like about Matthew, well, you know, however it all happened, I mean, we all know that everyone's trying to prove a point, and Matthew certainly tried to justify a lot of other things. But I think it was probably more like the end of Mark. And it's like, but somebody told somebody, because it didn't stay there.
Yeah. Well, and this has the like consistencies of the Marys, right? The Marys are there during the crucifixion. The Marys are there, the first ones, the last ones and the first ones. And it shows these women who were there, who weren't just there as props, but they were kind of agents of the gospel.
I mean, I think it's remarkable that all four gospels have Jesus first appearing to women. That there's a, well, unless you count the angel who rolled the stone away,
Sure.
but you know, that's, it's hard for us, I think, to grasp how countercultural that was for everyone to write that it was women, and even making the disciples, the male disciples, look a little foolish in a couple of the accounts. So
Yeah.
I like that part.
I think it's important, right? It is. Like it's not surprising, but it is significant. Like it turns out God is God, and so like women are fully included in the story, and powerful and have agency. It's just our just pieces out of the kingdom of God, where we experience, you know, systems of patriarchy and white supremacy, and like these things don't exist in the kingdom of God.
Right, exactly. And that's, and even if they were trying to spin it in a patriarchal way, you can't spin this story either patriarchally or hierarchically. You know, it's so for everyone, and it's just so clear that that's the message.
So, you know, as you go into this Easter day, what do you take with you, right? What does the gospel say to you today?
Well, I think, you know, there's lots of other stuff going on in the world and in life, in my life, and in the church. And what really struck me reading this time was just that God and Jesus are going to break through, you know. And I, you know, the other part about this passage, like right after this, you know, Matthew explains why the rumor that the disciples stole Jesus' body was going around. He says, "Oh, the guards revived themselves and went in and went and told Pilate, I think, or somebody." And what I kind of like about that is just, well, like people will try to spin the story they want you to take away. And so for the Romans and for some of the Jewish leaders, it was really important that no, Jesus didn't rise. It was a manufactured thing. And, you know, that's not what happened. And so for me, it's just a great reminder that the truth breaks free. And it's a great reminder not to be pulled to one side or the other when people try to spin it or gaslight you or anything like that. It's like, it's the truth of God breaking through into our world again and again and again is the truth. And it's always going to be a truth of great love and great mystery. And that can't be kept down. It can't be sealed away or, you know, lied about, or it's the truth of God's love is the truth of God's love. And, you know, I there's things in this Matthew passage also that I think like having an earthquake happen when Jesus rises, you know, that parallels the earthquake when Jesus died. And it's, I like those kind of symmetry things. And so the other thing that I'm taking away is that, you know, the tragedy and the tough stuff is real, but it's not the last word. There's going to be another earthquake that opens up life and love. So yeah. I really like that part of this story.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to take those things with me as well, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that idea that, you know, the women weren't worrying about the people who were going to say they were crazy, people
right.
that were going to say they were foolish women. The instruction is not to, you know, go fight against those voices. The instruction is to go tell the story.
Go tell the story.
Knowing
yep.
that the truth is ultimately going to come through.
Yeah.
God's love will be revealed. You just have to stick to what you know, which is
right.
the reality of God's love.
Right. And it keeps happening. It's we just keep being reminded that Jesus is alive and is with us. And that's
it's a good word, friend.
Yeah.
Will you pray for us?
I will. Thank you. God, thank you for breaking through the darkness and the confusion, the fear, the sorrow, even just breaking through the unknown, breaking through dramatically and emphatically with the word that you are alive and you are not finished with us and we're not finished with you. Your love lives, and we are so grateful for that. Thank you for that, that powerful reminder of this scripture passage. And thank you for this season of life and resurrection. We pray this in the name and in the way of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for being here, friend.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation.